Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon, welcome along. This is the Friday Report, very nearly 10 past one. Joining me on the show today then from Island Roads, the company's service director, Paul Herbert. We have Phil Mew, who's the owner of the Fighting Cocks pub, and also Councillor Phil Jordan from Isle of Wight Council, the executive member for Highways PFI. And we are looking for your comments and your questions, please. You can tweet us today. We are at iWhite Radio, hashtag Friday Report. On the text, IW, a space, and your message. Send it into 81222. And you can give us a call, 822002 as well. When we come back, then, we will be talking roads, PFI contract, potholes, you name it. It's going to be here in the next 40 minutes.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
So, Friday Reports. An Island Road special, but not an Island Road special, but a Roads on the Isle of Wight special, if you get my gist. Joining me in the studio are all the people who have really all the questions and the answers today about Island Roads and potholes and, you know, challenges and moving forward and PFI arrangements and all that kind of thing. First off, I'm going to start, if I may, Phil, with you, because obviously this week you've had, you've been in the news because you released the press release, and the press release was basically saying, look, it's the PFI, we're underway, but it's going to get worse before it gets better, and you kind of just have to bite the bullet and, you know, get on with it for the next few years, and then it's going to be better in the long term.
Sure. Hi, Lucy, and thanks for having us in again. It's always a pleasure to come up here. What we want to tell our residents across the island is that the PFI contract has started with earnest. We're in year three, start of year three, and some of the roads that are going to be rebuilt and resurfaced are due to be done this year and in the next 4 years after that. And we found, and people can understand, I'm sure, and imagine, that you can't close roads where we have to without having diversions and disruption. And what we are asking people to do is to understand that across the island, and I'm sure Phil later will explain from his perspective how road closures impact out from where the road closure is. And in fact, they can reach almost across the island in some ways. And what we need to do is to for our residents to understand that when those road closures take place, in spite of us doing all the diversions and all the work, all the consultations, talking to everyone that we possibly can, that there will be disruptions, and we're going to ask our residents to bear with us while we bring our roads on this island up to the standard that we all want them to be.
Paul Herbert, good afternoon to you. You're the service director for Island Roads. Thanks very much for coming in today. Are you in a difficult position? How do you pick the routes that you're going to do next? How does that work? And how do you work out, you know, the times that you're going to do it? And in terms of the times of day, whether it's got to be an overnight job or whatever, how does that all work?
Okay, yeah, thanks again, and reiterate Phil's comments. It's a pleasure to come in and try and answer some of the issues, the concerns that residents have, and clearly it's the contract was set out as a PFI. Generally, a PFI is run over a five-year period for the investment and the upgrade. This is over a seven-year period. There's already awareness from the council that this is, you know, the island is heavily dependent on tourism and business, local business, and to which we're very mindful when we go out and decide as to which roads we do, when we do them, how we do them. Largely is dependent on the condition of the asset. So we need to understand whether it's a full reconstruction, whether it's a short sections that we're going to do, longer sections. And all of that goes into the effect of closing roads or whether we can do them under lights.
And just to say there, you said it's a seven-year contract. It's kind of an intensive 7 years, but the actual contract's for 25.
Correct, yes. 25 years, and it was the time I was told I might be accepted as a resident after 25 years. which obviously sort of brings it in a longer field test. But So you can appreciate, yes, 25 years is the maintenance, but actually 7 years is the core investment period, as it's known. And that's when the upgrade of the assets of the PFI will be upgraded to some of the best. We need not forget, in a survey back in sort of 2012, 20% of the island's network was restricted, weight restricted or closed, wasn't available to be used. You know, some of the worst assets and highways in the entire country. And that's the reason for the PFI. So I can make apologies for the disruption that people will inevitably get. We do our best to minimise that, but I can't get the roads upgraded without keeping public and road workers safe.
And we've got a question here from Joanne from Newport. Why are you doing the roads that aren't that bad compared to the ones which are very potholed? And we were looking at maybe St Mary. I mean, you've probably driven over a few coming here, to be honest. St Mary's roundabout picked out as one of those places that is particularly potholed. But there are lots of roads that people perceive as being very, very full of potholes, and yet they're not the ones that seem to be done.
Sure, yeah. Perception and fact. I'll call it in both, because actually I drive as a local across the island, and without doubt there are some very bad roads. In addition to that, it's not just the normal surface where you can see a pothole and how deep it is. Actually, it's the structural integrity of the road. The contract requires us to uplift all assets. So there's different hierarchy roads. So you have your main roads, your B roads, and then your rural roads. And I'll keep it at that level. There's more that goes into it. And actually, we have to uplift each of those type of categories across the island, across all six districts, equally. If we started, as you look at the island as a clock, if we started somewhere in Cowes and then worked our way around as a clock would, someone in West White would be very unpopular with, or I'd be very unpopular with someone in West White if by year six we hadn't started. So you can understand the logic of upgrading different characteristics of road equally across the island, and that does lead to some misconception that we're not doing the worst roads.
All right. I'm going to say hello to Phil Mew. Hi there. You basically own a business in the middle of the Arrot enclosure, which is currently in place. And I wanted to say hello to you, and you're here. And we are going to talk to you. But before we do that, I wanted to just play you something that we have spoken to local residents in God's Hill, first of all. So everyone's donning headphones as we speak. And I'm going to press this button. And this is locals, residents, business owners in God's Hill.
Alison Child, I'm chairman of the Governors of God's Hill, which is part of the Stenbury Federation, but I'm also chairman of the Parish Council. I mean, the funny thing is that when Kevin Burton and one of his workers came out, I think he was a young engineer, came out, they had high visibility jackets on, and they had the cheek to say to me, "We'll help you across the road, because you won't otherwise, you'll be waiting there for hours." And with their high visibility, they stopped the traffic and we got across. Well, that's what we want every day for every person. It is ridiculous. And somebody actually, one of the parents said, "Why have you come in your high visibility?" And they said, "Because of health and safety." Well, their health and safety, what about the children's health and safety? What about the villagers and the visitors?
The parking is not a problem, but then you have to walk from one end of the village to the other, and then if you want to cross the road, well, it does take time, and you just have to keep your eyes open and look in every direction. Otherwise, you know, it's quite dangerous over here.
It's a shame, because you can't really get to see enjoy enough, you know, that you've got the time to do.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you're busy watching the road and the pavement, you're not looking what's around about you.
Martin Simpson, I'm a freelance geologist known as the Fossil Man. It's normally bad, but it's worse now because the diversion, you can hear it now behind me as I'm speaking. So what it's basically doing is cutting the village in half, and it's making it extremely dangerous to get across it or through it. How there hasn't been a fatality, I do not know. I don't know what it would take to have a zebra crossing or 20 mile an hour limit, but we need it desperately.
So that's Martin Simpson ending that report there, and he owns a shop in the middle of God's Hill. Now, I'm not sure who to come to first, really, for this, but I'll let you slug it out, Paul and Phil Jordan. Now, the situation with God's Hill, what can be done there? You heard local residents saying it's dangerous, and even the Island Roads people are turning up in high-vis jackets saying it's dangerous, and yet the children are left to cross the road.
Yeah, Lucy, I would expect the employees of Island Roads to be turning up in high-vis jackets, and thankfully they do. Look, we're well aware, and we listen to the residents, we consult with residents, we've heard some of the concerns. Listening to some of those comments, it's difficult to understand exactly whether what's being said to us there is, do they... Well, is it a permanent 20 mile an hour that's required there, and a zebra crossing or both, or is it just while the roadworks are going on in Arrowton? I wasn't absolutely clear about that, but
you think there's a mixture of both there, and it's an issue that's been rumbling on for a while, isn't it? But and that campaign for a permanent change in the speed limit has been ongoing, but the whole thing has reared its head again because of all the diversions, because of the Arrowton closure.
Thanks for that clarification, and I'm glad we have had that, because there are numbers of villages around the island that are considering applying for 20 mile an hour as a general rule. That's something else I think I'd have to say. If we're going to move forward with 20 mile an hour speed limits in our villages, there's a process for that and a procedure, and we need to look at that. And it's quite stringent, actually. However, if I can just deal with the temporary measure of the road closure at Arrowton. We are two-thirds of the way through it, roughly, and looking forward to it being finished. I've been down and visited, inspected the road, and what's been done is magnificent, frankly. However, insofar as God's Hills, we've listened to the residents, we've heard what they said, and we're putting in some lights there that show 20 the speed of the vehicle as it passes. We found that they're quite effective and useful in areas. We have them in other areas of the island.
But not much good without enforcement.
Well, enforcement, of course, is a police matter. And so to make any sensible comments on that, we'd have to have the police here and see whether indeed they're able to enforce it, how often, whether they could do it, at what times of the day and the night. I have to say also, like Paul and like Phil, I live on the island, obviously. I drive around. I've driven through God's Hill many, many, many times since the road closure. And I've done it almost always to see what the traffic was like. And I've had a great mixture, and I've driven through during the day. I haven't driven at, if we could call it rush hours. Does the island have a rush hour? I don't know. Newport
I think
Ride
there are a
does.
Lot of people saying, yes, it absolutely does, because we're stuck in the traffic every night.
Right. But during the day, early evening, late evening, I've driven through God's Hill with not too much problem of traffic. But however, we've agreed to put these temporary lights in. It is going to be temporary because the road closure in Arrowton is temporary. We've done all that we can to divert traffic. What's happening already is that the volume of traffic in God's Hill is forcing some of our other local residents to use other routes. I think we colloquially call them rat runs. And we're having incidents, and for example, in Newchurch and other areas as we go further afield, where drivers are trying to avoid this. And it's back to my original point, really, Lucy, which is somehow we've got to come to terms with the fact that when we close roads, there's going to be some disruption, whatever we do, wherever we move traffic, wherever we divert it, however quick we are, when that road is closed, there's going to be disruption. It will spill out across the island in a certain way. And some of those ways you can't even foresee. As drivers take their own routes that they wish to avoid the road closure. Can I just say one final thing on this? I've heard and had communication from residents who want us to prevent lorries from going through God's Hill, and I understand entirely the disruption that causes, but we have no powers to stop lorries going through. The lorries,
but you can put diversions in place. You can put signs that say if you're bigger than a certain size, you can't come this way. This isn't an advised route.
Well, we can do that, but and then we send them down another small route. And that's the problem with the island. And Paul referred to it earlier about most PFI contracts are the core investment period. That's the initial period when you bring the network up to a standard is 5 years. On the island, it was recognised that these problems would occur. They would occur because of our roads, not very many main roads. From memory, it's about 100 kilometres of main roads. 100 kilometres of main roads. We have about 700 kilometres of roads in total.
803 kilometres.
803 kilometres. So 700, seven times the roads on the island are not main roads. And those are the roads, largely, that the diverted traffic has to go on. So it's very difficult to foresee all of this. And then you have unintended consequences. Where if you slow traffic down, the build-up of traffic backs up through the villages. That in turn forces drivers that come up to the back of it to take side routes, and the thing spills out and becomes unmanageable. It's a very, very, very difficult thing to manage. And I do understand, appreciate and empathise with the residents that are having this traffic through God's Hill. But what I'm going to say to people is, as an island, as residents across this island, we need to bring our roads up to standard, and somehow we've got to come to terms with some disruption.
All right, Phil, let me just bring in a call here. This is the Friday Report. Hello, who's there? Who's on the line?
Oh, hi, it's Julia.
Hello, Julia, whereabouts are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bryston.
Okay, then, tell me, what would you like to say today?
I was just listening to the gentleman speaking, and he was saying about the priority, about which roads are done first. And I think he thinks we must be a bit stupid, because I understand you have to cover various parts of the island, and there's a large amount to do. But in our local area, last September, I think it was, they did a very small road in our village that takes one car at certain sections, and even the people living down that road were saying, well, why are they doing this road when they actually the main road and a lot of the roads on the island need doing much more badly than this one? And I just wondered what the priority is.
So Paul from Island Roads, do you want to come back on that? Julia from Bryston, you did a one car track there. What was that about?
Sure. If I go into hopefully some explanation, and to be fair, I understand the frustrations from the residents. I understand the frustrations we have in terms of the length of the roads that we're doing. But the concept of equally lifting each hierarchy of road, as they're known, so there's four hierarchies, but main roads, minor roads, urban, rural roads. And actually, if you take the most rural network, hierarchy four, lower use roads, that equates to 69% of the entire network of the island. Therefore, what you will see is more smaller roads, tracks, roads being done because there's more of them. So as a magnitude of scale, we have to do those first. And obviously, the main roads, so if you took Arrowton, Whippenham Road, those types now that we're starting to do, you know, Boldener Road, key routes that we've had to upgrade and lift, you see less of them. But what we're trying to do now is stitch them together so that we have longer sections. We come in and do disruption once. We only interfere with traffic on a key route such as Arrowton once, and it's done. And to be fair, when we had the survey, a public meeting with the local businesses, yeah, I think there was an acceptance that it was going to cause disruption. People weren't particularly happy, but actually understood how many times do you want to do this, how much time do you want the disruption, and actually the sense that was born there was okay, let's do it once, do it right, and get it out of the way. What we have noticed, though, is the impact on other residents. So the caller that came in at Godshill, I have full sympathy for that area, and I also know...
The question wasn't about the disruption, because I think you're right. I think people get annoyed that they're delayed, but I think we all accept that actually the roads really need doing, and that, you know, that's going to cause disruption, you have to do them. But my question was about how the priorities are made, because yes, there's a lot of rural roads, but actually there are a lot many worse rural roads, and that road wasn't that bad. And even the workmen who were doing it, who were here for over a week, were saying, we don't know why we're doing this. And I was told by somebody, I don't know if this is true, so perhaps you could answer that, is that actually you get more money for doing the rural roads. Is that correct?
Is that correct? Is it about the finances?
Sorry, Paul. Let me just have a quick word about that.
Is this going to answer the finance question? Yeah,
that's not true.
Right.
That just isn't true. We pay a sum of money. There are some complexities, and I won't go into that. They're for commercial reasons. But we pay
what
as
do you
an authority.
Mean by commercial reasons?
We pay as an authority a sum of money each month to the service provider, the contractor.
The Island Roads, still,
yeah,
Island Roads.
Yeah. Now, and that's fixed in a certain way. There are some adjustments up and down, but it's fixed. It is not true that people are paid, Island Roads are paid for filling a pothole or surfacing a particular road. That just isn't true. What is true is that the contract demands that the Island Roads or the service provider rebuilds and resurfaces roads across this island across four areas. And if it doesn't do so, it faces financial penalties. So the provider has to meet those milestones. Those milestones occur every 6 months over the first 7 years.
Does that answer your question, Julia?
Not really, to be honest. I know other people probably have asked things to ask, but I just wondered because, as I say, as a village, we were all saying this, and I don't understand, because if there's four levels, perhaps you need to re-look at what the levels are. Because, I mean, for instance, the road at the top of the lane they were doing, the main road, really badly needs doing. And, OK, you could say, well, OK, we can't do all the main roads at the same time. But to do a really small road that nobody really had a problem with, and I just think that seems illogical and a bad use of our finances. I mean, you could look at... if you go to Seaview, the main road into Seaview, that actually couldn't patchwork that anymore. And ironically, I suppose this is a slightly different issue, but a few months ago they were painting new white lines, and as someone was said to me, they basically painted the line through the pothole. And you just think, is that a good use of the money that we're having to pay through the nose for the PFI? And I just wondered who is actually overseeing it, and if those are the rules, perhaps you should... look at the rules again.
OK, thank you. And I think I've understood that. Can I just answer, firstly, the white lines? And I've answered this many times, indeed on the radio and in the press. But on the 31st of March, the contract told the service provider that all of the lineage on this island had to be brought up to a standard. No ifs, no buts. And if it wasn't, there would be financial penalties. And it is for that reason, towards the end, during February and March, that the provider made a lot of effort in renewing the lineage, white and yellows, bays and so on and so forth, because the contract told it to. Now, I do take your point, and we are in discussions with Island Roads and the service provider about amendments or changes to the contract. That may be part of it, it may not. But that is essentially, Island Roads are only doing what we ask them to do.
Yeah, but I think that's the point. I think we're all concerned that actually we're having to pay all this money, and who is overseeing it, and why is it happening in the way it is? Because I think a lot of us are all thinking this seems completely illogical. And as you've both said, you know, fair enough, there are things perhaps we're not aware of, but it doesn't seem to be happening in perhaps the best way.
Julia, I'll get them to come back on that point, but I'll say thank you very much to your question.
Very much.
Thank you for calling in. So do you want to answer the last thing that Julia had to say there?
Yeah, for sure. And I come back to saying that I agree with the frustrations that residents have over what they perceive the order of roads and the requirement and the need to surface roads. And I think the way to answer the question in terms of the monies and going into the details specifically is that majority of the roads are going to be upgraded. So effectively, they will all, you know, be upgraded, maintained and repaired over the 7-year period and for the 25-year period. So it's not about what the money is, where it's paid, what it's done. That, you know, roads are being upgraded across the island, so that will happen. For me, it's the part that where it doesn't seem to make sense on a back road that doesn't make any doesn't have too much traffic, as opposed to doing a main road. And that's exactly as Phil said there, endorse what he said, that we are in discussions about, yeah, the concept was right. Let's try and equally lift the roads up across the island, because we don't want to start at one place and somebody doesn't get seen for 7 years. So that's being looked at. We'll try and come to some agreements, and call it sensible agreements, that just readjust what we're doing. But effectively, the roads will be upgraded, and whether it's done now or in 7 years' time, you know, the effect will be the same. They will be upgraded.
All right, lovely. Well, we started off talking about God's Hill, but it's not just the only place that's living the PFI dream at the moment. Arrowton, currently the main road through Arrowton closed. Phil Mew, you've got a business right in the middle of that. Tell me about your frustrations.
Well, our frustration primarily comes from the lack of signage or the lack of information that is presented to the actual road user. We're still finding customers, even now, we're into week 5 of the operation, which is potentially going to last 12 weeks, and we're still on the people coming in, oh, haven't come to see for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we weren't aware that we could even get to you. Now, we had a meeting with Island Roads a while ago, and I did manage to get one of the digital traffic management signs moved into Apsheath, saying the road is closed beyond the Fighting Cocks, so you can still get access to businesses from the Sandown end, you know, to Hell Common Suzuki or to the Fighting Cocks or Richard Carter, Amazon World, all the places which are beyond the road closed signs at Apsheath. Our biggest issue at the time was there was a massive barricade across the roundabout at Apsheath post office, and you had to be pretty determined to go through 3 lots of road closed signs at Apsheath at the crossroads going atop a Princelet Chute, and then the Branson crossroad as well. There were three lots of road closed, roadside, and you had to be very, very determined.
Which is ironic, because in the winter when it's been raining, we get a lot of calls saying, please tell people not to go through the road closed signs because there's a flood. They're there for a reason. So that's misleading if you're in a car and you've got three lots of roadblocks, but actually they mean, no, you can still get to the business. How do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, for sure. And to be fair, I know Arrowton very well. And the point that Phil made earlier and the lady at Godshill, you know, we're talking about HGVs and where can you turn HGVs and ban HGVs from certain roads. As Phil said, there's not an awash of roads that you can put HGVs onto. There are certain points on a particular route where you can send an HGV. So for the right reasons, Apps Heath is where the closure is, because that is the last logical place to turn a HGV lorry. We are looking at improving signage to say HGVs where we can to have major.
But it's not the HGV drivers who are going for lunch at the Fighting Cocks pub. It's you know, it's a family out for the day from Sandown, and if they're met with three road closure signs there, they're not gonna think, oh, it'll be all right, we'll just carry on.
Yeah, and I get that, and you know, Phil and the fire, they're there for business. You know, that's part of the tourism, that's part of the beauty of the island, and we need to try and help them and work with that to make it a success. One, we succeed and we upgrade all the roads, but two, we minimise disruption. In the example we're looking at is Arrowton, and Phil's just mentioned a number of the organisations there. Could we put an open for business as usual? Yes, we do. Could we put the Fighting Cocks is open, the so-and-so is open? Yes, we probably could at that location. But then you set expectations. What happens when we go somewhere else? How many A-boards do we have down the road? Is that a distraction and does that increase road safety? So for the reasons that we do what we need to for safety, I think we can improve, and I would be the first to agree. We can improve on the tourism signage to help tourists to know where to go and how to get there, and I think we'll work on that together with the business community. This week I was with the Chamber of Commerce talking to local businesses, and actually we were talking about how we've improved communication in certain areas where we can still improve. You know, put this into context, this is 15 times more work than the island has ever seen, but it's desperately needed because the roads were the worst in the country, and to do that there'll be some disruption. What we need to do is all learn. It's all a learning curve to say we've never seen this work done in this scale. Let's try and upgrade the roads together. Let's work together. You know, we're all islanders travelling through God's Hill. Let's all slow down ourselves. Let's not wait for a sign to tell us. We're villagers, we're locals, let's all slow down. So I think we all could work together to try and improve the situation we find ourselves in.
I think our frustration is that we all attended the meeting held by Island Roads, and they all said it's going to be a main project. We understood that. We all appreciated that the work needed to be done. We were told it's going to be 6 days a week, 24 hours a day working. It's going to be the number one priority. And I don't think we've seen that. I really don't think there's no one's working 24 hours a day. There isn't, to my mind, there isn't the urgency to finish the job. To give themselves 12 weeks to do a relatively short stretch of road, I appreciate they had to go down a certain depth to build the foundations up and give time to settle each layer. But if we're on the mainland, how long would that similar stretch of road taken? Now, I think 12 weeks to allow for a project, which is what, how long a stretch of, how many miles are we talking about?
It's 2.2 kilometres, so it's a significant stretch. It's over about 8 metres wide, and we're digging it out just under half a metre deep. It's substantial works, and whether it would be completed quick on the mainland, the answer's no. Quite simply, it wouldn't. Taking Phil's point, no. I, as much as I'd love to get my employees working 24 hours a day, they all need to have a rest, and we can double shift. But it comes down to material curing as well. So the materials were laid down.
Why at the meeting did they say it's his top priority? It's going to be 6 days a week. It's 24 hours a day, and at the same time, now we've got the East Council work being undertaken at the same time. That's having nighttime work there. So are we at a stage that we got, okay, the guys who were going to be doing it at Arrowton at night have now been moved over to East Cowes? Has that taken priority because that's the main artery off the ferries and into the island? It seems to me, I think 12 weeks for that stretch of road, for the impact that we all know there's about 45,000 road movements along that road each day. And if you can work on the base, that's 20,000 plus people going from Sandown side through to Newport, home and back. Now, it's impacted massively on ourselves. I mean, we're taking about £1,000 a day less than what we would have done in the last couple of years and at a similar sort of time. Dale over at Amazon World is on his knees because he's not getting the tourist can't find him. And it's really impacting. I mean, I think the urgency, Island Roads have got the carte blanche to say, well, we've got the work, we've got to get on with doing it, we're going to do it. Tough luck to everyone else, basically. We're just going to get on with it at our own pace. Major projects, we need 24 hours work, and it's got to be done in a short period of time. I appreciate it's got to be done properly, because there's no point making the project, making the road good, and then it crumbling again in a couple of years, and we have to start again. But I just think the urgency has been left, or would have been lost on that site already. And there has been. It's, I appreciate that there are local residents in Arrowton who have slowed the work down. I think that's very selfish, to be put it mildly. You know, we need to throw men at the work and get it done, because it's the impact through Godsell, through New Church. I think there should be clear road through New Church. But there are cars parked either side of the road. I go through to New Church 3 or 4 times a day for personal reasons, and there are always the same cars, and it's absolute chaos through there, particularly at sort of the 3 o'clock rush when the schools are being kicked out at New Church. There should be clear road, as there is in Godsell. Why are residents allowed to park there when you're trying to ease the flow of traffic for everyone on the island? I mean, we're putting everyone through minor lanes, and how people aren't getting involved in more and more accidents. It surprises me.
Phil, we're going to have to head to a break, but I just, with the Arrowton question in mind here, and people are calling, I will come to you. If you're calling, by the way, do keep going, and I will get to you. I've got this question. Are you working in accordance with Section 54 of the New Road and Streetworks Act 1991? And this governs the amount of notice that is given to business owners and residents about the closure of a road if it's over 11 days. Are you working in accordance with that particular act?
If I knew that relevant act to the letter, I would confidently say yes, and I would hazard a guess to say yes, we are. And
I have a suggestion to say
suggestion.
That you're not, and that you've acknowledged that you haven't, and actually that the feeling was that because residents were behind the work, it probably wouldn't matter.
No, I don't think it was the case at all. We have extensively communicated with the businesses, with the locals and the residents, and so my answer would be yes, we have. If there was a particular section there that hasn't been adopted or followed, then please, you know, give me some evidence of that, and I shall get it investigated. But you know, we perform as a professional outfit. We notify where we need to, and we try and work with everybody, and that's what we aspire to achieve. I mean, in terms of 24-hour working, it does come down to materials. It does don't come down to curing times. But actually, we did have operatives working last bank holiday weekend on the Saturday and on the Monday. So they were working on the bank holiday weekend during that particular time. You could say there's always a positive and a negative, and you always try and be optimistic. Actually, cars were parking on the road that was closed because they couldn't get into the Fighting Cocks pub, into the car park. So in that particular event, that was actually very good. But I appreciate on a day-to-day passing trade, that has the effect. And we all need to try and work together to try and, as I said, improve that, understand how we can better communicate, get in touch with each stakeholder, maybe do that even more in advance than we need to, because it's important and it's not something we're just going to ride over. It's not something that we're ignoring. And if I could make the works go faster, as everyone knows in business, you'd be more efficient and therefore you make more money. So there's certainly no benefit in going slower, and it's not something that I would endorse.
The phones are going crazy. I will get to you, but we do have to take a break because we are horridly approaching 2 o'clock already. But if you're trying to call in, give us a couple of minutes and we will take that call.
The Friday Report. Getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. This is the Friday Report. The phones were going crazy, but we absolutely had to take a break. But who's on the line? Good afternoon.
Hello, it's Ali Hayden, and I'm an Arrowton Parish Councillor.
Hello, Ali. What's your question? What's your point today?
Well, I would just like to say that I think to a certain extent the Island Roads are getting a bit of bad press on the programme.
Okay, I think Paul will probably be delighted that you've rung in.
As a parish councillor, the feedback, Lucy, from residents in the village is that Island Roads could not have done any more than they've done for residents. They've been giving people lifts, they've been trying to maintain access. A lot of their staff have actually been using the village shop for their drinks and snacks and things to try and keep that going. And I think maybe a certain extent of the loss of business, as Phil was saying, it's probably down to island apathy. We all know what the centre of Newport is like on festival weekend. People avoid it like the plague. And I think to a certain extent, maybe that's what people have been doing through Arrowton.
OK, let me get Paul to respond. I've no doubt that will be a happy response as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it is important to get a balanced view. And thank you for your comments on the staff and the teams that are working down there. And to be fair, that would further expand on the millions that we've spent with local businesses and organisations on the island, not specifically in Arrowton. But we know HSS, for example, have just employed 12 additional people. So that regeneration, there is benefit to disbenefit. That said, and I'm pleased to hear that's your view, is that doesn't take away Phil's pain in terms of what he's trying to achieve. He's got his own business in Arrowton. So, it reinforces Councillor Jordan's point on we need to be able to get on with the works, but we also need to work together as a community to actually try and improve what we're doing.
I'll say thank you very much indeed for your call there. You mentioned HSS. We had a tweet from Jeff at HSS. He said, we're a big fan of the PFI. 11 Island people have found new employment with HSS because of the revenue and work, and it's provided a real boost. The phone is going. We've only got 5 minutes left, so it might have to be a slightly brief answer to this one, but good afternoon. Whereabouts are you calling from? What's your name? Oh, hello there. Can we hear you? I'm going to ask you, if you can, try ringing in again, because that's a bit of a dodgy line for some reason. So do give us a call again, please. In the meantime, let's have a quick look at this. Tony from Newport says he understands that some roads are checked on a 3-monthly basis, depending on the importance of the route. Tony uses furlongs in Newport, a regular bus route and car route for Pan Estate. As a cyclist, he's aware the road succumbs to potholes on a very regular basis, more often than 3 months. And that in turn can lead to accidents. How many accidents will it take for a road to be upgraded to more frequent inspection than 3 months? Where's this figure of 3 months come from, and how do you change that?
Okay, industry standard is that certain clarification of hierarchy of road, the vehicular speeds, traffics, etc., drive how often and how regularly you undertake an inspection. If we are inspecting on a particular section of road and there happens to be more defects or more current defects, reoccurring defects, what we do is we will increase our inspection, which we have done on a number of areas. What we then also do is liaise with that and the construction teams that are upgrading the works. Coming back to your previous question, and I'll try and refer to Section 74 of the new Roads and Streetworks Act in terms of notification, we build all of that in. So we would then advise, notify people that we're going to try and pull schemes forward, which we have done in a number of cases. And improve those sections of road sooner. The team's going out there, it adds risk to them working in live traffic situations to repair the road. So there's no benefit to anybody to keep going out to the same defects or reoccurring defects in a stretch of road. So we will always aim to try and improve those. But please bear in mind, these are the worst roads in the entire country, and I cannot get the teams everywhere at the same time. So it will take the 7 years, but I'll reassure you, it will improve.
All right, let's try and take this call again. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
There we go. Hello, what's your name? Whereabouts are you calling from?
It's Southfleet. It's my name's Farmer Jim.
And what did you want to say today?
Where does it take 12 vans and 12 blokes to do one manhole cover in Carisbrook day before yesterday?
Okie dokie. How many men and a what there? Say that again.
There was 4 vans.
Yep.
And 12 blokes.
4 men. 4 vans, 12 men, and 1 manhole cover. Paul.
Yeah. I'm sure I've heard this on a comedy stand-up. I'm not sure. There seems far too many. Could you just repeat that location again for me? Because I don't have the answer, and clearly I'm not going to be able to give you the answer to that here. But if you could tell me the location, what we will do is go back and we can investigate into that.
Bottom Cedars Hill.
Okay, lovely.
There's just one manhole cover, one bloke working on it, and the rest of the blokes all standing there on their bloody mobile phones.
Okay, well, we'll look into that. Thank you very much.
Apologies if you heard a word that perhaps you shouldn't there, but thank you very much indeed for your call. I'll leave that to leave you to look into that particular inquiry. Let's have a quick look at this one. This one's come in on Facebook. Why haven't Island Roads finished the work that's been ongoing for weeks along Pallance Road?
Okay, Pallance Road, extensive drainage improvement. So part of the regeneration of the network is not just solely about the carriageways. It's about the other street scene. It's about drainage. There's a lot of drainage issues on the island, and the main run and all the links to the gullies down that section have been upgraded. Prior to starting and doing the resurfacing, To finish off the scheme, BT notified us because we also work with the utility companies and we're trying to improve how they work with us, coordination, so we have planned works. Went in to do some upgrade works associated with their broadband implementation. So we stopped what we were doing to allow them to come in, which is good because I would have had a negative comment sitting here with you, Lucy, had we resurfaced it and then someone had dug it up. So we are working. There are reasons why we do that. If you go down to visit it, it's probably a good example of the before and after, because there is a new surface that has been done. You have the existing surface that was there, and then you go back onto a new surface. And if you wanted an example of what it's going to look like and actually what it still looks like, that is a very good road to use to get exactly that feedback.
Now, I know we're going to be a bit late for the news, but I must ask you, Phil Jordan, and also Paul from Island Roads here, about the Atkins contract. It's good to see you both in together. How's that going in terms of the Isle of Wight Council, the contractor as the middle person, and your relationship with Island Roads?
Yeah, Lucy, that's going very well. What's happening is Atkins are looking at some of the engineering side of the service delivery, and they're also looking at some of the elements of the contract that are causing both of us problems. That's Island Roads and the local authority. There are reports due very shortly. By very shortly, I mean in a few weeks anyway, or into June.
Short in council terms.
Short in council terms. Well, you know.
What's that a bit mean?
that's quick for us.
Okay. So yeah,
there's a report coming through, but that's the work they're doing for us. And they're doing some day-to-day work, looking at some of the civil engineering issues that we have as an authority to monitor.
And Island Roads, are you playing nicely? The council have had to get a contractor in because we're told that all the staff with experience moved to Island Roads. Are you playing fairly with the Isle of Wight Council?
Playing fair. I mean, to be fair, a professional organisation, both on the council side and on our side, to be fair, the contract required the teams to be transferred to us. So rather than we've taken them, actually that's part of the process. And we have the expertise to deliver the improvements that are required. Council's team has some technical in terms of the industry knowledge, and that's why Atkins have come in to help out with some of that. And for sure, you know, one of the first questions we had was, why are we doing these roads in this way and what we're doing with it? Actually, the advice we can give needs to be looked at and checked. So, as Phil said, we are working together with Atkins. We are happy that the Atkins are in, and I think it's helping support and grow the project, developing it into what, you know, we want it to be as Islanders. And actually, that will help the changes that are needed with which schemes get done at which time, as an example. Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, we are in negative time here, I'm afraid. I must head off. I've got one final comment from Dan Hayden in Arrowton. He says, you're doing a great job in Arrowton. A positive note for Island Roads to finish on. But thank you very much indeed to Phil Mew, who's the owner of the Fighting Cox Pub, which, Phil, is open and you can get to it.
Yeah, we're really available from the Sandhouse end. Come and see us anytime. We're there all the time.
Okie dokie. Paul Herbert, the Service Director at Island Roads, and Councillor Phil Jordan, the Isle of Wight's Executive Member for Highways PFI. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. And we are going to be late, I'm afraid, for Tom Stroud. But thank you so much if you took the time to call us today, or to tweet us, or to Facebook a question. We always say it, but there isn't enough time. Gentlemen, can we get you all back in at some point?
Of course, yeah. I think it's useful to have these regular catch-ups, dispel myths and actually take on feedback, because actually we won't improve if we don't talk. And actually to try and get out and communicate with more stakeholders and island businesses is useful. So I would fully endorse coming back in.
Brilliant. And just in time before the jingle ran out as well. Thank you very much indeed. It's been The Friday Report. Tom Stroud on your radio next.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.